Hey folks, this is John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I used to record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. But we're not driving to work anymore. I'm not in my vehicle. I'm at my house. And I don't do weekly podcasts every Monday. Instead, I do instructional coaching from home. I'm on walks in my neighborhood or just sitting around my house doing lesson planning. And my goal is to extend that same courtesy, that same opportunity, that same resource to anybody who wants to tune in. So having an instructional coach on demand here in the time of a coronavirus shutdown is probably a good thing. And here during Teacher Appreciation Week, I'm talking about all different ways that we as teachers can still feel safe and supported and appreciated for the work that we do, which is maybe now more important than ever to make sure that our students likewise feel that same level of safety and support in these challenging times and all the other cliches that have already kind of worn out their welcome in however many weeks of quarantine. But we do episodes every single day. So Monday through Friday, if it's a school day, we'll be doing a podcast all the way up through the end of our school year. And I'm here to make myself available again for teachers of littles, middles, high school, adult learners. As a coach, I just take conference calls all day and make lesson plans with people like all around the U.S. So it's a cool thing to be able to share those strategies here with you. And today, as part of Teacher Appreciation Week, I want to talk about ways to appreciate ourselves that involve creativity, creative ways to express or appreciate yourself. Treat yourself, part two or part three. I guess it's Wednesday. More on that in a second, but first things first. If you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more, head to iTunes or head to Spotify and leave a comment or a rating. Subscribe. It helps other people find the podcast if we have more people talking about it, which is awesome. That's super cool. If you want to message me and we can continue the conversation further, we can do that on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name. M as in Mary, E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy. And EDU like teaching because I love teaching and I want to get better at it. And talking to people who are smart makes me smart. Or at least makes me feel like I'm smart because I'm hanging around smart people. And last but not least, I have a website, www.edrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like education, edrenaline. I had wrote a book called Adrenaline Rush, which is all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. And if that sounds like things you're interested in, that's available on the website. But I also have a ton of resources that are free, like templates and activities and multimedia and open source stuff. Borrow it, use it, adapt it, change it, whatever you want to do. Make it awesome, change the world, and let me know how I can help. All right, enough of that. Let's talk about being creative. No, you know what? I have to keep talking about that because creativity is a big part of that. So I figured out early in my life that I love making stuff. I hate following up on stuff. I have no follow through. Maybe that's ADD hell. Maybe that's just a fault of being, a very curious, creative person. But I love starting projects. Hate finishing them. For me, the novelty wears off pretty quick. It really does play to, if you are a student or a teacher or a learner or an adult or an admin who has in your own life struggled with ADD or ADHD. That's my life. I get it. It's a big thing that I have learned to harness into a superpower. I have colleagues and friends who say to me, there's that line in the Hamilton libretto, like, man, the man is nonstop, right? How does he write like he's running out of time? There's so much that I want to get done. I only have so many laps around the sun. So I just start stuff and I do stuff and I create stuff. I think that's awesome. There is a challenge, though, because you fatigue because you've started so many things, you never really have time to finish. Now, the beauty as an instructional coach is I just help people lesson plan for today and lesson plan for tomorrow and lesson plan for a week from now or a month from now. And because I have a regular parade of people passing through my office, we're always doing new planning. For 180 days, I'm kicking around ideas, ideas on how to make this unit more engaging, ideas on how to bring in more technology, ideas on how to make this more student-centered, ideas on how to give faster feedback or get it graded in a way that makes the students feel safe and supported to try again, how to normalize failure in the process so that they don't feel afraid to hazard a guess. These are all good things. And as a coach, the coolest part about it is I design a system, but then I don't have to follow up except for to follow up and check in, where I actually would have to sit down and do the grading or do the lesson planning or do the grind. I'm an idea guy. And as the idea guy, our school chaplain, we're a Catholic school, he says he likes to come to my office because this is, quote, the idea room. And it's a brainstorm, like pie in the sky. In Walt Disney World, they call it the blue sky phase, where there are no wrong answers and anything is still in play. What could this look like if blah, 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 blah? How much fun could it be if blah, 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 blah? When I was a student, I did Odyssey of the Mind, which used to be called Olympics of the Mind, and I think it's now just called OM, or DI, Destination Imagination. And it's like a student group creative problem-solving competition that you just hazard guesses for, you know, different scenarios. You have to build a skit or build a, you know, a contraption or like a Rube Goldberg device, something like that. But they also have like an other element to it where, in addition to the thing you've built and created before the competition, they bring your team of five people or six people into a room and they give you a prompt problem, which is called spontaneous. And the spontaneous problem is really like improv. It's being in the room and you're given a ping pong ball and they pass it around and you have to find a million uses for a ping pong ball. And one by one by one by one, you pass it around your team. So early in life, I loved leaning into these things that were spontaneous, that were improvisational, that were, I wonder what if, like, just curiosity, playing with Legos, not to make the sets that were supposed to be like follow the instructions, just making stuff, right? That was a big part of who I was ever since I was a kid. And so when I made the transition to a teacher, I love creating stuff for my classroom. You know, I want to turn the new unit into the thing. If I did a poetry unit, for example, I bring in floor lamps from IKEA and, you know, some cool jazz music. I listen to like Miles Davis. And as my students came into my classroom, the whole place looks like a Starbucks, right? You know, like these low floor lamps and these, you know, groovy sounds, man. And immediately it was awesome. Kids were into it. And I could get 3 weeks worth of momentum out of that as we could do the poetry lounge. But after like the first 5 minutes in that poetry lounge, I was already thinking, okay, this unit will last me 3 weeks. That's great for the kids. How do I then plan for week four? Because I'm ready to go. Like, I'm done. And it's not because I'm disenchanted with it. I know it's working. I just look to that next challenge. There's a great quote by Walt Disney that says, around here, we don't stay in one place too often. We keep moving forward because we're curious. And so how does this play into Teacher Appreciation Week? Because here, while we're away from school, curiosity can keep you sustained, but curiosity can also kill the cat, right? You only have so much time, and in some ways, it might feel like your hands are tied behind your back. So I want to talk about curiosity and like creativity in this time away from school, so you could do those things that, I mean, I love doing as a kid, just playing with Legos, metaphorically, where you're just trying stuff out to see what works. Creativity can come in a lot of forms or fashions, and as you appreciate yourself as a teacher, recognizing that your creativity, it's a line out of a book called Educated by Design. That's it. It's by Michael Cohen. He's a rabbi. And it's an amazing book by Dave Burgess Press. It published, I think, in 2019, early last year. He says creativity is a mindset. It is not a skill set. And I love that. Creativity is a mindset, not a skill set. So if you talk about harnessing and appreciating creativity, what are you doing for yourself to appreciate yourself, darn it, for the creativity that you bring to this passion, to this craft? As an educator, you probably do a bunch of creative stuff every single day, whether it's just in the classroom, breaking your students into groups and then naming the groups funny creative things, or picking a theme or an idea for your unit or a guiding metaphor or principle that you can kind of tease out over two or three or four things, or your lesson plan, how it starts, how it moves, how it ends, how it finesses, how it finishes, how it gets students engaged, or how you have these kinesthetic activities, getting students up and out of their seats to engage with one another. Like, this is all awesome. But when we're not in our classrooms, oh no, I don't have that anymore, right? I can't make a lesson plan that demands X, Y, and Z. And I can't, in a time of coronavirus, give students a whole bunch of Legos and metaphorically ask them, hey, can you build something? In fact, I can't get them physical Legos too because they're not in their own houses or they're not in a place where they're guaranteed to have that stuff. So let's talk about creativity then. Like, as we appreciate ourselves as educators, how can you use your creativity to still tap into a passion and be appreciated for that which you bring, because it's a muscle and you have to flex it, right? It's a mindset. You have to keep committing to it. And I'm wondering for myself, what are things that are related to school and non-related to school that I might be able to leverage to make myself feel like that creativity is still shining? For me as a classroom educator, I'm thinking big picture, and this is just me. It's not any inside information. It's not any sort of in the know. But in conversations, in consulting and work with other schools, in work with my own school and in work with speaking and presenting, I know that anything that I had scheduled for the rest of 2020 is largely being rescheduled to 2021 at the earliest. I'm looking at like dates in August and in October of 2021 is when my calendar is currently being spoken for. So that means the likelihood that distance learning or remote teaching is going to have to be a new play in my playbook for the next calendar year. As we're winding down the school year, and maybe you have some systems in place that are kind of running on autopilot, maybe you felt, hey, for this year that is, I'm just going to try to get through. We're going to white knuckle it through June, and I'm just going to take a breath and enjoy the summer. Maybe that creativity is, okay, you know what? In the fall, I have to teach X, Y, and Z. If I had to teach X in a distance learning, I might have to do dot, 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 dot. And as teacher appreciation goes, because no one's forcing you to do that today, you're still kicking around ideas. It's still what if. Hey, I teach a unit on rhetoric in the fall every year. We've worked in the past excerpts of the Founding Fathers. We do a little bit with the Hamilton libretto. My students really seem to really enjoy it. It was hip, it was relevant, and it was way more movement involved than a traditional just go ahead and read the Declaration of Independence. That's great. So how do I get kids excited about Hamilton without getting them in the classroom to listen to the entire libretto where those beats are dropping and people are like, oh, this is so cool? How do I recapture that energy, that enthusiasm, that engagement? And now my creative muscle starts flexing. Like, as I appreciate myself, because when I do this work and you did something that was creative, it feels good to have born it to life, right? Like, well, what if I did a unit that was music video inspired? And now we're putting together a series of ed puzzles or a series of flipped classrooms type models, tying in things from YouTube or tying in things that will be on Spotify. And students are just listening to certain tracks and then interacting and reacting to those tracks and how those tracks are then making them feel certain feelings. And they're talking about why they're feeling what they're feeling. Well, now I'm excited to kind of lesson plan, do a unit on creativity. Like, I could watch the entire Formation video from Beyonce and get my kids really excited about visual rhetoric. Hey, that's cool. It doesn't always have to be what it always was. And as that creativity starts kind of like that groundswell of support, I find myself appreciating, hey, you still got this, old man. Like, you still got those tricks in you that make you excited and want to dig in and dive in. Because it's not due tomorrow. I have a lot of time to kick it around when I'm on a run, when I'm on a walk, just talking to friends, Zoom calls, happy hours, whatever they are, right? Like, and you walk away saying, hey, I think I've got some ideas here. I still have some bullets in the chamber. I'm gonna kill it. And that's good, because you are here not because you happen to know everything there is to know about English or math or science or history, but because you love teaching. And you brought to your teaching a creativity, a passion that makes other people want to love it as much as you love it. That's the coolest part about our job, is that we can see that light of recognition in a child's eyes and say, oh, I really care about The Great Gatsby. Huh, that's kind of neat. Hey, I didn't think I was a math person, but what do you know? I see myself as a... If we can get our students to feel excited like we're excited and to share in those passions, that's a win for everybody. So as you're tapping into your own creativity and you're appreciating yourself in this Teacher Appreciation Week, consider the things that brought you to the dance. Like, for me, I love reading the short stories of Flannery O'Connor. She's a Catholic author. I happen to be Catholic. She's a short story writer. I happen to love short stories. And she's American literature, and I happen to teach American literature. So in this time away from school, I'm not only reading more Flannery O'Connor, because her short stories are amazing, and I haven't read every one of them. She has, you know, 30, 40 stories, you know. But I also have the chance to not just read about them, but, like, connect with friends who wanted to just talk about those stories. And I was like, screw it, we'll make a podcast. So once a week, I get somebody together with me, and we talk. Like, maybe they have a drink on their end, or I have a drink on my side. We just talk like old friends about the literature. And we go line by line, or paragraph by paragraph, or we focus on one story. I liked it so much, and they liked it so much, we decided we were going to make a podcast about it and push that out on the internet. Cheap commercial. You can check out Everything That Rises, the podcast dedicated to the short stories of Miss Flannery O'Connor. And just like that, I'm feeding my creative soul, because I'm talking about something that I love. I'm learning from people who are way smarter than me and who know it even better than I do. Like, bringing in college friends who have now gone on to become college professors, bringing in other teachers who teach this stuff in schools that are not mine and all over the country. And, like, I'm feeling emboldened, empowered, and appreciated, because just my idea of, hey, let's just record two people talking, has then turned it into something that we can turn into a product to share with the world. Again, not for a grade, but now my wheels are racing. Oh my gosh, if I could do this for Flannery O'Connor 45 minutes every week for 90 minutes per story, that's, you know, 30 stories. I could do this for 45 hours worth of just talking about an author that I love. Plus the reading of those stories, the time that that takes. Plus the getting together with my friends and recording it, because that's fun, right? Plus the then doing the editing and then the figuring out how to make a better podcast, how to, you know, sweeten the microphones, or how to do the, you know, just the clipping and the editing and the ducking and all that stuff. Suddenly, I'm feeling pretty appreciated because I have a work product to show for it. And then my teacher brain kicks in and I said, whoa, if I can do this for big projects, could my students do it on a much smaller level, maybe 3 to 5 minute mini podcasts, mini casts, where they're dialing in with one another, they're connecting with one another, and they're feeling appreciated because they're experts on, I don't know, Fortnite or, you know, The Bachelorette or, you know, Tiger King, whatever their thing is that they care about. But they still practice rhetoric and performance. And now, like I said, my teacher brain never turns it off because I'm really excited to watch them come back in the fall with that as a possible arrow in my quiver when we talk about that unit. Which is still months and months away. So again, feeding that creative soul for yourself can really help feed it for your students. And I encourage you in this time of Teacher Appreciation Week to think about the things that feed your teacherly soul, whether it's working in your garden or going for a run or working on personal fitness or personal finance or creativity or anything involving just making a mess around your house and figuring out how to put that mess back together. There's so much that we have in our lives that feed that creativity, that feed that desire to just make stuff. To build stuff, to fashion stuff, and then take the lessons from that back to our classrooms because we're living this new reality of distance learning. Bring it back and saying to our students, hey, here's an example of how I'm really enjoying my life with this content or this idea or this concept outside of school. What can you do? That's fun, that's engaging, it's empowering, and ultimately, it helps people feel really appreciated because what they've done is made something that they can point to and be proud of. So, I want to hear what your thoughts are. I would love to talk further. Please tweet me on Twitter at @mehanedu. Thank you for tuning in for today and every day on the podcast from now through Friday. We take a break over the weekends and we're back every Monday with more. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay connected, stay appreciated, and we'll be back next time. Thanks again.